One of the things from my childhood that I remember happening every year like clockwork is that every January after Christmas and every June after my birthday, Mom would sit me down at the kitchen table with a box of thank you cards. The task, as I'm sure you can guess, was to instill in me an attitude of gratitude and to teach me to be able to express it to those who had given me gifts at Christmas and for my birthday. But, like many of us, I'm sure, I definitely had periods of time in my life where I didn't want to do what my parents asked, simply because it wasn't my idea. And as a result, I wasn't always enthusiastic about this task. An enthusiasm that didn't grow when one year I was taken to task by a distant family member for not writing an adequate thank you card, whatever that means. Today, this weekend, we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Many of us have or will be gathering with family and friends to give thanks together, often over tables heaping with food. And as I was thinking about Thanksgiving weekend and reading through our scripture readings for today, I was thinking about the work that my mother, like I'm sure many parents, put into instilling gratitude as a way of life for her children, by giving us a practice that would help to shape our way of being and the way that we relate to others in the world. Because being thankful, being grateful is more than just saying thank you. As much as writing thank you cards to all my various aunts and uncles, grandparents and friends was, there's more to thankfulness than that. Just like there's more to thankfulness than the surface actions of that one man in our gospel reading today. Here we have Jesus and his disciples continuing along the road to Jerusalem for the last time. They're walking through the region between Samaria and Galilee, kind of a no man's land borderland. It's neither inside Samaria, nor is it inside Judea. It's one of those places of uncertainty, but also of encounter and opportunity. And here, Jesus encounters a group of 10 people suffering from leprosy. 10 people who inhabit this border region, both in the sense of dwelling here, but also in the sense of their disease, which isolates them from community and society so that they are, in a way, neither living nor dead. Jesus, Master, they call out, have mercy on us. They see Jesus. They know who he is, and presumably what he can do. They already know. They already believe. So they stop Jesus and ask, restore us. Restore us to health. Restore us to our life. Restore us to our community. So Jesus says to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And remarkably, they head off to do just that. Along the way, before they even reach the priests, they're healed. One of them, a Samaritan, one of the folks who good Judeans like Jesus' disciples love to hate, notices that he is healed and stops, turns around and heads back to Jesus, boldly disobeying Jesus' command to go and show himself to the priest. He returns, praising God and giving thanks. And for this impertinence, Jesus praises him and holds him up as an example of faith. If only disobedience and writing thank you cards would have gotten me the same praise as a kid. But seriously, what is it that gives Jesus cause to praise this man for failing to do what he asked? I wonder if there's something more. I wonder if the Samaritan man who was healed and returned to give thanks was at a different place than I was as a child with thank you cards. As a child, I saw it as a necessity, a task I had to do every 6 months to keep my mom and my relatives off my back and to ensure that I was given gifts again the next time my birthday or Christmas rolled around. It wasn't then what it has become now, a response of gratitude for something I didn't deserve, a response to a gift given to me in love. Similarly, all 10 of these folks with leprosy undoubtedly know that God has healed them. One look at themselves would confirm that, as we see from the one who returned. But only one of them internalizes it, truly believes it, and turns to give an active response of thanks and praise. And in doing so, he is showing forth what it means to live, what it means to embody that first part of the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. What does loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind look like? It looks like thanksgiving. It looks like glorifying God for being the one from whom all blessings flow. It looks like having the audacity to stop, to return, to praise and give thanks. And this one man is showing us how to do that with courage. Because faith is courage. Giving thanks sometimes takes courage. Get up and go on your way, says Jesus. Your faith has made you well. It took courage for the one to turn back on his own. And it can take courage for us to stop and give thanks. But it is absolutely central to who we are as Christians, as people who believe in God. It is absolutely central to the life of faith. Think about it. All 10 in the group believe in Jesus' power. They wouldn't have stopped him as he walked along the road with his disciples if they didn't. All 10 head off to go and show themselves to the priests. All 10 are restored. But only the one returns to give thanks. And this act of thanksgiving is what Jesus praises as faith. It is an action that, in effect, deepens and completes the act of receiving the restoration from Jesus. It's a response, to be sure, but it also deepens and completes the act of belief in the act of receiving from Jesus. The act of thanksgiving completes the belief. It completes the gift. And so today, this weekend, we give thanks. Not only because we can look around us and see the abundance that God has showered on us, but because in thanking, we might truly receive and show forth God's love, knowing that this gift and this thanksgiving makes us whole. Amen.